Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And when we say life and truth matter, remember the words of Paul to protege Timothy. Watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. It is a danger to just have doctrine. The Pharisees had that. But we must not only have correct doctrine, but we are called to have life. Peter talks about it as being a partaker of the divine life. It doesn't mean that we change our ontology, but it does mean that we are aware of the fact that as we go through the tangled web of human existence, we do not do so in isolation as believers. Another person is involved. And that person is the precious counselor, the Holy Spirit sent by Jesus Christ, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. When I think about John, the beloved apostle, and his relationship with Jesus Christ, I want that same relationship for myself. In fact, I want self, the carnal, the fleshly nature, to be overwhelmed by the divine nature that has been engrafted within me. And so as I listen to the Gospel of John, I'm not just listening to a historical narrative or doctrinal truth, although I am listening to that, but I'm also listening to words of life. I'm reminded of what Peter told his hearers. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Luke says he gathered eyewitness testimony and carefully investigated everything. If internal evidence points to anything, it is to the reality that the gospel writers were inspired to faithfully narrate a core set of facts by which they themselves had been radically transformed. It's one of the reasons I'm so excited to put 5 books of John into your hands as dramatic audio theater. It is one of the most incredible offers we've ever been able to put together. Had a vision for doing that in the fourth quarter of last year, got it put together, and now it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. On the back in the endorsement, I point out that I can make no more certain promise than that to listen to them over and over again is transformational. As the beloved apostle so beautifully put it,
"These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him."
The Word of Promise, 5 books of John, a special Christian Research Institute edition available. For your gift to the ministry, you can access your 4 CD copy, beautifully packaged on the web, at equip.org via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by talking to one of our resource consultants on the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go right to the phone lines. Tariq, listening in Richmond, Virginia. Hi.
Hey, how you doing, sir? I had a fairly simple question.
Sure.
My question was, I know as a child growing up, I was brought up in church, and I often heard the scripture, people always say, honor thy mother and father. But my question is this, it never really is explained. I had a disagreement with my mother about something that she was wrong in, and she called me a dishonorable, disrespectful son, all because I had to raise my voice a little bit, which is telling her, Mom, that's not right, that's wrong. So in her opinion, she said that that's dishonorable. She often threatened the scripture, honor your mother and father. And I just wanted a better explanation of that because I'm a parent and I'm a father today. And I have to raise my son myself, and I want to teach him the same thing. But I'm sure at some point he will want to know, What is it to dishonor your mother and father?
You know, I think that certainly bringing correction with gentleness and with respect, if it's necessary, is not to dishonor your mother or your father. But when your mom said that you raised your voice and you were disrespecting her, perhaps in honoring her, you can say, Mom, I'm imperfect, and perhaps I didn't say this in the way that I should have said it, but the reason I said it is because I deeply love you and care for you. I honor you as my mother. I honor you as the one who gave me life, and I love you deeply and dearly. So you might even humbly recognize that perhaps the manner or the attitude that you had, even though what you said may have been correct, was incorrect.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Well, I just wanted to get a better, because no one ever really explains that scripture. You know, a lot of parents and elders, they use that scripture, and I don't want to be a parent that, because I disagree with something that my son that he might be right in. I just don't want to be a parent that, like the Bible says, honor your mother and father, even though he might be correct about something that make them feel bad. But, you know, so I just need to get a better idea of what is it to just honor your parents. Like, what is that exactly?
Well, it's to respect the God-given authority and relationship between a father and a son, between a mother and a son, and so forth. So it is respecting the fact that your parents are your parents and therefore being obedient to them. Now, there is a time when you leave your mother and your father and you cling to your wife, and the two of you become one flesh, and now you have a son yourself, I think you mentioned, and you want your son to grow up in such a way that as he honors you, he recognizes that there is a heavenly father that he has to honor in every way as well, in his thought life, in the things that he does, and ultimately in the love that he manifests. And that's the greatest kind of honor you can give. I was talking to my mother just last night, and she's 88 years old, and sometimes her short-term memory isn't too good. And it can become somewhat frustrating because she'll repeat things to me. But I honor her, and I love her so much that, I don't want to be frustrated with her. I want to treat her with the kind of dignity and care that she deserves as my mother and the one that ultimately gave me life, as I mentioned before.
Okay. Yeah, just last thing, I'm sure I know you have other people waiting. Now, how do I exactly deal with that when my mother, my mother was raped, I would say, and so she didn't really take care of me. So we kind of reunited our relationship, and I guess a lot of conflicts come about with that because I guess over the years I've grown in God and I have a lot of wisdom in God. And it's like a lot of things I know biblically, she doesn't know. And it's like we go back and forth because it's like she's wrong. And I just try to be like, I get frustrated because I'm like, Mom, that's not biblical.
Yeah. Well, and I think that what you want to communicate is communicate through the testimony of your life, because you have come to understand some things that she's still struggling with. Honor her through the testimony of not only your life, but your love. And when God gives the opportunity, use your lips as well. But remember, you can't force feed everyone, or in many cases, it's really hard to try to teach a parent. It's just because of the relationship. It's awkward. It's difficult. So sometimes, instead of speaking, what I would counsel you to do is just pray. Pray that God would bring other people and other circumstances into her life so that she comes to a true valuation of things. And thank the Lord that though you had a rocky relationship because of neglect and so forth, you still have that relationship you can cherish today. And I commend you for doing that.
All right. Thank you for your time, sir.
You got it. Thank you for your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jim, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
It's great to talk to you. I've been a long-time listener, and I've purchased pretty much all of your books. And I love the way you dissect things and the way you consider things that are done, said, otherwise. And I have a question for you. I was raised Catholic and hardcore Catholic. And I left the church for a long time. And I came back to Christ. And to me, I think I have a full meaning of what he just wants to love me. And I've done this through a church called LifeChurch.tv. They're based in Oklahoma City, and they have what they call campuses spread out throughout the United States. And from my understanding, they're the fastest growing and the biggest church in North America. And the pastor, Craig Rochelle, I've followed him and really tried to dissect all of his sermons. And I have yet to find anything that causes alarm. And I was wondering your thoughts about him and or his ministry in that church.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I can't help you to a great degree there because I just haven't followed that ministry. I do know that their statement of faith is generally in line with the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But unlike you, I haven't actually heard any of his sermons that I can think of.
Okay. I've tried to listen, and they post them online on their website, all their past ones. And so I've gone through and tried to dissect them. And at first, that was my mission, was to prove it wrong so my wife would get off my back about going back to church.
Yes.
But God spoke through that, and it really touched my heart, and I've become a servant. And I've never been a servant, and I love it. And it fills me with so much joy. I know God is working there. I can't see it being any other thing than God working because how fast it grows, and to see people's hearts that attend to. And so in that thinking and in that reasoning, I was just trying, I thought, okay, if I get an outside perspective, maybe you had heard something or you had seen something that maybe I haven't picked up on. Because the last thing I want to do is be misled.
Well, and there's nothing I can volunteer, but I would say one thing just in terms of this idea of size. The fact that something's growing quickly does not mean that it's necessarily good. It doesn't mean that it's bad either, but I wouldn't make that the criteria for determining whether something is good or bad. I mean, you can see a lot of cults that are growing very, very quickly, and I'm certainly not trying to make a comparison here, but you just in the sense that you can see them growing quickly, and yet they are misleading when it comes to faith and practice. So the fact that something's growing rapidly or is big certainly is not a stamp of authenticity in and of itself.
Okay, I appreciate your ministry, and God bless you. Thank you, Hank.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call so much and your kind words. Back to the phone lines, James in Lexington, New England, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. My question for you is, how many people did Jesus kill?
Well, it depends on how you figure it out. I mean, as the Son of God, he was and is involved in all that God does. And certainly, if you look at the angel of Yahweh or the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament tells us in Isaiah that the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. Or remember the very many instances of divine judgment that you find throughout the Bible, from Uzzah in 2 Samuel chapter 6 to judgment on the nations. So remember, we oftentimes think of God as only a God of love. And that is a God that would only be a figment of our imagination, because the God of the Bible is not only a God of love. The God of the Bible is a God of justice, whose eyes are too pure to look on evil, who cannot tolerate wrong. And so ultimately, we want to recognize a full-orbed perspective with respect to the Bible as communication of the nature of God. We are coming up to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that you can get the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your smartphone. You can get an Equip app by going to equip.org/app. It's available on Apple and Android. Check it out on the World Wide Web. Again, equip.org. You can listen live to the broadcast. You can listen to archive broadcasts. You can read articles. You can listen to Ask Hank features and much more. Check it out.
To help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year, we want to send you the unique and transformational Five Books of John audio presentation. Utilizing all-star acting talent to present the life and teachings of Jesus through the words of his most beloved disciple, this resource will draw you closer to our risen Lord. So please request your 4-CD set of Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. There's more from Hank Hanegraaff coming up next. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled Five Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Five Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4-audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4-audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website,
go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Jim Caviezel, Louis Gossett Jr., Kimberly Williams Paisley. These are some of the all-star actors who lend their voices to the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This unique and transformational resource will encourage and inspire you to draw closer to the Lord in 2014. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of the Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Visit equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Alan, listening in Missouri on the web. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Hank, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
I've been listening to your broadcast for a while now. I purchased several of your books, and through those and your broadcast, I've come to trust a lot of your judgment and your the way you put things. I came into possession of a book called History of Theology, An Introduction to Christian Thought, written by Alistair E. McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I've read over 100 pages of it already, and I've enjoyed what I've been learning, but then I realized, I don't know who this guy is. Is this someone that you trust as a theologian, or are there any problems that you would point out about him or his book that I might want to think about?
Well, he's an excellent Reformed theologian. He's an excellent apologist. He is a prolific author, and he has done tremendous work for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would profoundly disagree with him on some issues, including his advocacy of theistic evolution. I think theistic evolution is the worst of all possibilities. If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine. Don't blame God for it. It's cruel, it's inefficient, and it flies in the face of the very nature of God, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, wow. I did not realize that he was that he pursued that thought. That doesn't show up in the book that I've read so far.
No, and again, to say this is just simply to make a qualification. It does not mean that what you're reading is not helpful and worthwhile. You can certainly learn a tremendous amount in a helpful manner from his writings and his teachings. As I said, he's done a lot of tremendous work for the kingdom of our Lord.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Suzanne, listening in Marysville, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, and thank you for your ministry. I have a question about The Harbinger by Kahn, what your view is on it.
Well, I mean, look, I've written some novels, and of course the idea is to use the power of story to communicate your worldview or to communicate logical truth propositions. At least that's what I have done in both my historical fiction and in a book that I wrote called The Fuse of Armageddon. I wrote both the series and the last book I mentioned with a friend of mine, Sigmund Brouwer, who is just an excellent novelist. But again, our whole idea was to use the power of story to communicate something with respect to end times or eschatology. And this is what Kahn is doing as well. But the problem that I see is that he is suggesting that he knew what would happen before 9/11. And if that is really true, if God had truly revealed to him what was to come, why was he not standing out in front of the World Trade Center on 9/11 warning people not to enter? But not only that, I think that the biggest problem is his prostitution of the biblical text, where he takes events that are foretold by the prophets and then fulfilled, and then he transfers the fulfillment from the fulfillment given to us in the scriptures to something that he says is going to happen in the 21st century or happened in the 21st century. So I think that's a very significant problem.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your views on it, and I appreciate your program.
Thank you, Suzanne. Appreciate your call so much. Back to the phone lines. Gabriel next in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello, Hank. I've been listening to your show for a couple months now every day whenever I'm on my way home from work, and it's very inspiring to me. Keeps my head where I need it to be. I get home to my wife. I'm sure she appreciates that. So, my question is, there is a very well-known hip-hop artist named Kanye West who has a new, I'm sure you're probably not familiar with hip-hop music very much, but my question is more...
you might be surprised. I have 12 kids.
on his new album cover, it shows him, kind of depicts him as Jesus Christ. He has a thorny crown on, and he's sitting in a room with three women around him. All of the women have red eyes, and one of them even has a snake's tongue sticking out. And he's next to, you can't see all of who he's sitting next to, but it's someone with a red arm, and it just leads you to believe that it could be Satan. And I had posted something on Facebook that I had read from Christian Post, basically just kind of talking about the album and had different quotes from Kanye West. One of the songs that he has on there is called "I Am a God," and so there's been somewhat of a little bit of controversy in some people, almost kind of even sticking up for people who I've known to be Christian, but saying things like, "Who are we to judge?" and things like that. And I just kind of wanted your opinion on how I can kind of be a witness and use this, to say, I'm not the judge. God is the judge, and I'm choosing for myself that this is something that I'm not going to partake in, and I'm advising you to do the same.
Yeah, I think there's a big misconception in the Christian world with respect to judging. Jesus makes it absolutely clear in the Sermon on the Mount that we are not to judge self-righteously or hypocritically, and that in judgment we should be aware of the beam in our own eye before we try to pick the speck out of a brother's eye. That certainly is a biblical teaching. But having said that, that is in no way suggestive of the notion that we are not to judge. Jesus Christ made it absolutely and abundantly clear that we are to judge, but when we judge, we are to judge by a right standard. Of course we make judgments every single day, and of course we ought to warn people about things that could be decidedly harmful to them. And if we did not do that, we would be demonstrating that we don't in reality love them. So Jesus loves us, he disciplines us, and in the same way, I think if we genuinely love someone else, we will tell them the truth. But again, we don't want to do it self-righteously or hypocritically. Christ does warn against that.
Right. Well, my question is, would there be any reference material that I could use to kind of further my I guess somewhat of a rebuttal to what they have to say?
Well, I think in many ways you're using sound judgment, right? In terms of looking at what is being depicted, then analyzing it, and then through the fulcrum of your own experience, you are now communicating to someone the danger when pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. And I think this is a systemic problem within the Christian church. We are getting our marching orders oftentimes from the culture as opposed to the culture being transformed by those whose minds have been transformed by the Word of God. You see this, for example, in the deliverance movement. There was a time in which it seemed that Satan had become almost a relic in modern America, relegated to the status of something that didn't exist in a modernist mindset. And then Hollywood came to the fore and started doing movies like Rosemary's Baby and these kinds of movies. I'm trying to think of one right now that I can't think of, but one of the earlier first movies that came out, and Linda Blair was in that movie. It's called The Exorcist. And if you look at that movie, you start getting a Hollywood version of what Satan is like and how Satan acts and how we are affected by Satan. So what happens? The movie comes out and pop culture now informs Christians on how to do exorcisms, and suddenly a great exorcism cottage industry sprung into existence, and there was the attendant benefit that you are no longer held morally culpable for what you did. Indwelling demons were mainly to blame, and getting rid of them was the key to moral and psychological redemption. So you had Christians lining up in front of preachers, and they were exorcising their demons. Now, again, we got our theology from the culture rather than vice versa. We became cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators. We should have been informing the culture rather than vice versa. In truth, if you look at the biblical perspective, you find immediately that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Why? Because their temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that temple isn't shared by a demon. And there is ample evidence that Christians cannot be demon-possessed in Scripture, and there's no counter-evidence in Scripture that you ever find a Christian that was, or a believer that was demon-possessed. So, again, we shouldn't get our marching orders from the culture. We ought to inform the culture, and I think you're wise to inform yourself, equip yourself, so you can take this and other opportunities to communicate truth.
Well, I appreciate it, Hank. I've been wanting to call and talk to you about this because I don't want people to just see this and just pass it by and just think nothing of it. I mean, because he uses blatant satanic things in this, you know, and calling himself a god, and on the cover of this album, he has an upside down cross. And there's, you know, just numerous different things. And I am just trying to create some awareness for people that I know that listen to this artist and say, look, you know, you need to reevaluate the situation.
Yeah, use every opportunity as a springboard, because there are only two kinds of people in the world: those in the end who bow their knee to Jesus Christ, and those who in the end are cast away from Jesus Christ for all eternity. And we can say that so glibly and so quickly, but when you think of the reality of that, it is daunting indeed. Imagine that we are eternal beings. We will exist forever and ever and ever. And as I talk about that, it reminds me to remind you that this is precisely why we do what we do. It's not a show. It's not just a broadcast for entertainment. We're unfortunately entertaining ourselves to death. It is a modeling of the fact that we always need to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. And so often, we're going to run into situations in which we say, I don't have the answer to that question, but I'm going to research and return. So if you're on the cutting edge of evangelism, you're driven into education, and you become an ever sharper tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process of changing the lives of others, not only for time, but also for eternity. I hope that you will be an equipped Christian that uses discernment skills. And as an equipped Christian, I hope you will stand as well with this ministry prayerfully and financially. We believe prayer is firing the winning shot, but God uses means. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. If you can help this ministry financially, it would be deeply appreciated. You can send your gift via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Be right back with more.
In 5 books of John, an all-star list of actors present the writings of the Apostle John, the most beloved disciple of Jesus, like you've never heard them before. This state-of-the-art dramatic audio presentation will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's Hank Hanegraaff's gift to thank you for your donation this month. So please request your 4-CD set of 5 Books of John when you renew your financial support today. Call us at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with Hank Hanegraaff after this. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final "Amen," the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to thank you for your renewed financial support this year. It's simply titled Five Books of John, presented in dramatic audio theater. Five Books of John is produced with state-of-the-art technology, including sound effects and an original musical score. It also utilizes the God-given talents of an all-star cast of actors, including Jim Caviezel, Michael York, Louis Gossett Jr., and Kimberly Williams Paisley. Five Books of John will help you live an ever-growing, authentic Christian life this new year. And it's our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support today of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your 4 audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you call with your donation, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. This month, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you a unique and transformational gift to draw you closer to our risen Lord this new year. Called the Five Books of John, this state-of-the-art dramatic audio theater presentation gives you a glimpse of the life and teachings of Jesus through the eyes of his most beloved disciple. So please, request your 4 CD set of the Five Books of John when you renew your financial support today. This is the last week the Bible Answer Man broadcast will be offering this unique and transformational resource for your donation. So visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, we're not all that far removed from Christmas. Every year it comes around, and especially during Christmas, lots of packages find their way to my doorstep. And were it not for 7 points of identification, they might well end up, well, on someone else's doorstep. 7 points end up separating me from almost 7 billion options. Those 7 points of identification are name, number, street, city, state, my zip code, the country I live in. But in a very similar fashion, there are prophecies that identify Jesus Christ as the only one who could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. And to make those points memorable, I oftentimes associate them with the first seven letters of the alphabet. So first of all, it's the ancestry, the A, the ancestry of Jesus Christ, which was marked, and then the B, his birthplace, that was foretold. And then the C, the circumstances surrounding his death that were prophesied before crucifixion was even invented. The D, the date of his visitation, predicted within historically narrow time parameters. Of course, he would work the E, extraordinary miracles, and the F, fulfill the law and the prophets. And it would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel. And thus, he would be a light for G, the Gentiles, so that salvation would go out to the ends of the earth. Only the hand of God could have etched a prophetic portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause it to take on flesh in the New Testament. Only Jesus of Nazareth could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. As you listen to the word of promise, and you listen to the five books of John, ever be mindful that we can demonstrate that what you are listening to is not merely human, but is actually divine in origin. These are the very words of God, and we can know that beyond the peradventure of a doubt because of the prophecies that we see in the Word of God, authenticating this as the Word of God. I think of some of the resurrection prophecies. Resurrection is the brightest star in the constellation of biblical prophecy. And while all other prophecies demonstrating the Bible to be divine rather than merely human in origin involve the supernatural, resurrection embodies the supernatural. And so when the Jews demanded that Jesus prove his authority over temple, priest, and sacrifice, he responded, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Now, his fulfillment guarantees that there is life after life after life. Life after life in that the redeemed continue to exist in the presence of the Redeemer. Life after life after life in that just as Jesus rose bodily from the grave, a starry host of resurrection prophecies guarantee that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But if Christ had not himself been resurrected, the promise that he will resurrect dry bones and scattered graves would be as empty as the tomb, guaranteeing its fulfillment. Don't take lightly that the Bible is utterly unique in that, unlike other religious writings, it has prophecies that could never be pawned off to good guessing, luck, or even plain old deceit. The Bible demonstrates itself to be the Word of God, and as such, we must treasure it. I've written about that in Has God Spoken, one of my resources available through the ministry. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Sandeep in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Hank. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I've been listening to you for a while, and just lately I've been trying to, get a direction in my life from God. So I've been praying a lot and on a regular basis and reading the Bible. And I was just wondering, how do you know and how long does it take to get to a point where you're sensitive to the presence and the direction in which God is leading you to?
Yeah. Well, we want to cultivate the presence of God within our lives. As I said to an earlier caller, our temple is the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. In other words, Jesus sent a comforter. And when I say that, we're talking about another person and the life of that person being engrafted in us. And that person is God. And God has a very strong personality. Our personalities must yield to Him so that we partake not in our fleshly nature, but in the divine nature. That's what Peter is talking about when he communicates that we are to participate in the divine nature and to live a life that's not just changed, but exchanged the life of Christ within. So we need to be attentive to the indwelling Christ, the indwelling Spirit, as we move through the tangled web of human existence. We need to cultivate that relationship because in doing so, we recognize that we go through every circumstance with another person. And that person is giving us direction. He is giving us His counsel. He is conforming us to His image. So to be sensitive to the presence of the Holy Spirit means that we are aware of the fact that we don't walk alone. We're always dealing with another person in our life that guides us, that directs us, that chides us when we go in the wrong direction. And by not being aware of that, we can actually quench that voice within us such that we no longer hear the voice within us and are no longer sensitive to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Right. All right, got you. Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Judy next in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Judy.
Yes, I was calling. I've got this cassette tapes on Strange Fire. And what is your opinion of that? Is it biblically correct?
Well, I think it's wrong to say or to suggest that the Pentecostal charismatic movement is as dangerous as any cult or heresy. I think that is not being careful with words, and that sentiment, unfortunately, has been conveyed. I think that we can stand shoulder to shoulder with Pentecostals who adhere to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I've known many fine Pentecostal pastors and people around the world who have a genuine love for our Lord and commitment to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So I may disagree with them on secondary issues. For example, I disagree with the Pentecostal notion that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I think at best you can argue that it is a evidence, but to say it is the evidence goes beyond what Scripture says. So I would vehemently disagree with that, and I would debate that vigorously. But ultimately, I wouldn't find that to be a point of ultimate division in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So again, I think we should debate the secondary issues, but do it with gentleness and with respect.
Uh-huh. But what about miracles for today, like healing? And sometimes, you know, they say that you don't get your healing because you don't have enough faith.
Well, and again, I think that's a wonderful qualification that you've made. Sometimes they say within the Pentecostal movement and within the charismatic movement, there are false teachers. I've written about them in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. But that does not mean that we can broad brush all of the charismatic movement or all of Pentecostalism. This notion of word of faith is oftentimes directly denounced by charismatics and Pentecostals who recognize that what is being taught by preachers like Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer or John Hagee and the like is simply false. So when Joel Osteen says that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith you can create your own reality, that is a prostitution of the biblical concept of faith. And so he compromises, confuses, and sometimes outright contradicts essential Christian doctrine. And there we should take a stand, because the essentials are the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. They're foundational to the gospel. They're the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. So on those issues, you can take a stand, but I don't think you want a broad brush Pentecostalism, nor I don't necessarily agree with strict cessationism, because in my view, though miracles aren't normative, God, for his own purposes, can do miracles, and I do believe does miracles, but they're not normative. The miracles were used to ultimately demonstrate Jesus Christ for who he was and the apostles for who they were, and this gives authority to the scriptures, because the Bible is founded on the prophets and the apostles with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone, and we can't lay another foundation. So I don't think miracles are normative, but I also don't think that you can believe in strict cessationism.
When I was led to the Lord, the girl that led me to the Lord, she said, no matter where you go or who you hear from, check it out with the Bible. Everything, whatever they preach, you check it out with the Bible. If it isn't there, you don't believe it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is what we should do. We should be so familiar with the truth that is found in the Word of God that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. From John's opening brilliance, "In the beginning was the Word," to his final Amen, the writings of this most beloved disciple provided a majestic tapestry of redemptive history. And to help you better understand the writings of this faithful apostle and to help you live an ever-growing authentic Christian life this new year, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you the dramatic audio presentation, Five Books of John. This amazing production is voiced by an all-star cast of actors, and Hank himself personally voices introductions to each of John's five books to help you understand them even better. Five Books of John is our gift to thank you for your renewed financial support of the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So request your four audio CD copy of Five Books of John when you give through our website. Go to equip.org. That's equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter.
Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.